is nothing new in the world of sales, except for the history you do not know. Welcome to the Sales History Podcast, bringing the brilliant and sometimes strange minds, methods, and ideas from the sales profession's past with applications to today. Here is your host, best-selling author of The Transparency Sale and The Transparent Sales Leader, keynote speaker, trainer, and nerd, Todd Capone.
As promised, I've been ear-deep in researching the origins of sales compensation planning. That's a question I've been asked a lot, right? Is when we think about the current structure of sales compensation planning, like where did that all come from? Well, I've dug back. I've got articles from the early 1900s through around the 1950s, and there's lots of them. I mean, this topic, it garnered so much attention that there's entire books dedicated to the subject from that era. So today, in what I believe will be a quick episode, we'll see as I get going here, but I'm going to attempt to whittle this down to just three lessons around not only the most interesting, at least to me, ideas, but also get you thinking about the ways that maybe we can make sales compensation the extrinsic reward that it should be, and not the cause of the erosion of intrinsic inspiration that it typically becomes. So with that, let's start with learning number one. Learning number one is back as far as 1914, and I found this description in a book called Marketing Methods and Salesmanship. They talked about quotas really having two purposes here, and this is different than what it is today. Back then, in the early 1910s at least, most organizations were looking at quota and target. In that quota, that word referred to the minimum amount of business that will be expected from a certain territory. So it's a minimum. And then the second was that target. And that target was the volume of business set by the sales manager for each individual salesman, which will entitle the salesman to the distinction and honor of having attained or beaten his quota for a certain period, and which will entitle him to a prize if one has been offered. It goes on to say, competing for prizes under the quota plan differs from the contests previously described in that each man competes not against his brother salesman, but against himself and his quota. To summarize that lesson up, back then, again, a quota was, hey, this is the bare minimum that you need to do. And like everybody should hit that. And then we're going to set a target that's going to be the basis for awards and titles and those types of things. And that's the way that they looked at it. I think that's a pretty interesting lesson. Learning number two is we're going to go to 1919 and really think about the purpose, the mindset, and the requirements of compensation. And it was just a belief mechanism. I thought a couple of these paragraphs were really, really interesting in the way that they thought about it. Now, the author, his last name was Aspley in 1919 in this Modern Sales Management Practices book, mentioned this idea that, quote, the weakness of most compensation plans is that they are a relic of the days when the fear of being out of a job was a constant nightmare. Your modern salesman must be led, not driven. The poorhouse over the hill, an ever-present reality in the salesman of a generation ago, is beyond the horizon of the salesman of today. That's an interesting perspective, given that in 1919, we were in boom times like we were in late 2020, all of 2021, and maybe early 2022. This idea that most organizations were using approaches that were fear-based, making the salesperson feel like, hey, if you don't hit this, you're out of a job, and that was a relic of times gone by. Well, unfortunately, as we hit tougher times, we see leaders that go back to this fear tactic. Keep in mind, if that's your approach, that yes, fear is a motivator. I mean, if you're being chased by a shark in a boat, you're going to paddle like nobody's business. But remember that being a great salesperson requires you to be able to use your limbic system, not just your reptilian brain. It requires you to be creative and think outside of the box. And when we are in survival mode, all bets are off. We think about ourselves first and our customers and their outcomes last. So we've got to put fear aside and continue to think like Aspley was thinking in 1919, that, quote, the poorhouse over the hill of a generation ago is beyond the horizon of the salesman today, and it needs to be thought that way. Now, the book goes on to share the results of sales compensation survey that they did with 153 different companies. I mean, it's really, really interesting, but it leads us to lesson number three, which is the different types that were really taking shape at the time. And it's funny that those different types in 1919 are exactly what we see today. Now, those different types, there was three, and you're going to look at it and go, wait, those are the three of today. You're correct. Approach number one was commission only, right? And that was a way that it was always, since the beginning of time, that salespeople only made money if they were successful in selling and receiving the money. They would receive a percentage if they were acting as kind of a manufacturer's rep at the time, or if they were selling on their own, they'd keep it all, right? But number one was commission only. Number two, straight salary, so salary only. And then number three was what you're probably all experiencing today, which is salary plus commission plus expenses. So let's go through just the way that they thought about those really, really quickly. Now, the commission-only plan, and I'm actually going to hop forward to a book from the Alexander Hamilton Institute in 1930 called Modern Business, starting at page 240. They went through these most popular plans, and they talk about straight commission exactly the way that we view it today. They talk about it in terms of, quote, he takes the gamble, of course, but the tried and successful salesman usually believes with the late Walter Hines Page that the man who is afraid to gamble on himself is not worth a damn. Now, Page, that this author refers to, was an ambassador for the U.S. to the U.K. He actually played a key role in our involvement in World War I, but he makes the argument that, quote, straight commission plan makes the salesman virtually his own boss. He can work if he wants to, and if he so desires, he can take a day off. And as a result, the big downside from a sales management perspective was, quote, the sales managers contend that the straight selling commission plan gives them only a loose control over the selling force. It goes on to talk about other downsides of the straight commission plan, which I think are obvious, but you know, one of which being, you know, another disadvantage frequently cited against the straight commission plan is that it's bad for the salesman in hard times. It goes on to say that the obvious remedy, of course, is for the salesman to read Poor Richard's Almanac during good times and lay something aside for a rainy day. So that is the straight commission plan. The upside is you take the gamble, but to Walter Hind Page's point, the man who is afraid to gamble on himself is not worth a damn. It's a little extreme, but, you know, maybe take it easy. But you lose control, and I believe that salespeople become very short-sighted in that type of environment too, and the outcomes of the customer don't matter. It's about getting the sale. And in the as-a-service environment, I think that that's a relic that I hope we never see again. All right, so let's go on to number two. The second type of approach was the straight salary plan. And in the straight salary plan, quote, the salesman's salaries are fixed on the basis of the former year's performance. All right, so basically it's trying to take out this money-grubbing, short-sighted, selfish type behavior and says, hey, based on what you did last year, we're going to set your salary and, you know, sell a lot, sell a little, you're all going to make that. Now, it goes to say that obvious downsides to that are, number one, it destroys initiatives, right? And then number two is there were lots of what would be called just reward complaints. The individual, quote, who is constantly bettering his performance as the years go on may become discouraged and impatient, waiting for what feels to be his just reward. And looking at others, thinking, hey, you know what? I am way outperforming this other person. I'm making a bigger impact on this organization, and I'm getting paid less than that person. That fairness element is a big erosion mechanism to intrinsic inspiration, or what drives us as human beings. So that was the straight salary plan. Last but not least was the salary and commission plan. Now, what I found going through these old books and magazines from way, way back is that it looks an awful lot like it did today, right? There's not a whole lot different. There's one type of plan, though, and one way that they looked at it that I thought was really, really interesting. And so I want to share that because maybe I can leave you with this idea that, is there an opportunity for us to look at this as the mechanism for how we actually do the salary and commission plan as it relates to setting quotas? And here's what I mean. The salary and commission plan back then was described as, quote, usually the salesman draws a regular salary, which is ultimately charged against his commission and expenses. But of course, he benefits additionally by the commissions in excess of his salary. The salesman is assured of a regular income. Simultaneously, he is sure of getting whatever he earns. Now, think about that for a second. The salary back then was a draw against future commissions to be able to give the individual an assured regular income by which they can live, but getting the just rewards for what they do. Now, that's different than today, where we view salary as completely different than commission. They are two completely separate things. Now, to my point around quotas, the quota for the salary plus commission plan was defined as this. It was defined as the amount that you needed to bring into the organization to pay for yourself, your salaries, your expenses, the cost or opportunity cost of having you in the role. And if you didn't hit that quota, you were an unprofitable element of the organization and had to go, which is a lot of where this idea that you don't hit your quota, you get fired, that we've taken to an extreme today, where we set this one-size-fits-all quota using practically no data, where in a previous episode, and I encourage you, if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It was something they got right that we get wrong around setting quotas, that back then they did so much more with so much less. They set quotas based on territories and what can be expected. And then they sat down with the rep and made sure there was alignment before that person was put out into the field to go actually sell. Today, we set an arbitrary quota, maybe based on a number that we need to hit, and we do a trickle down, or let's look at where we were last year, and let's add 10 to 15% or to 20%, or I've heard as much as 40%. Back then, they were getting this right. They were getting it right where they were looking at quota as a measure of profitability to the organization. We're investing in you. Are we getting an ROI? Do we expect to get an ROI? And when do we cut our losses? That was the way. And so I think maybe there's an opportunity for us to look at that, to go back to that first lesson, that the two types of quota were really a quota and a target, where quota is you've got to bring in at least this much to be a profitable and opportunity cost aware element of this organization. And then we're going to give you a target that really kicks in your accelerators, your commissions, your bonuses, your rewards, your President's Club nominations. I think there's an opportunity there. I thought it was really, really interesting to dig into this. There is so much more. I mean, there is, like I said, an entire book from 1953 called Salesman's Compensation that I have. And the one I have is volume 2, meaning there was a volume 1 that I haven't been able to get my hands on. It was written by Harry Tazdall and Waller Carlson Jr., but it goes through and literally has entire comp plans for tons of companies, like the literal verbiage T's and C's in it. We could do 5 episodes on this, but at its core, I want you to think about this. The quota set as a minimum for profitability to an organization, a separate target based on what can be achieved in the territory, what should be, and as a mechanism for accelerators and reward. Thinking about the fact that using compensation and quotas as fear versus a extrinsic motivator that also drives intrinsic motivator is lesson number two. And then lesson number three is just thinking about the fact that they had commission only and saw the downsides. They had salary only, saw the downsides, and they had salary plus commission like we have today, but they thought about it in a different way. I think there's opportunities there and we should probably look at those. So I've really enjoyed digging into this. I wish I could share everything, but the lessons are really at its core there. I've got pages and pages, an entire binder filled with research on this topic. But if you've got questions, please reach out because I probably can find the answers pretty quick. And I would love to continue to see our compensation and extrinsic reward mechanisms in the sales world improve. And maybe there's some lessons from the past that we can apply to the future to do just that. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed researching it and sharing it with you. And thanks again. And like always, if you enjoyed this, please rate, review it, and share it with your friends. All right. Thanks.